Hi everybody, lovely to be with you this morning. Could we have the PowerPoint up please, Ian? Thanks. There must be a holy shindig going on in heaven, mustn't there? With people coming to the Lord, wouldn't you like to just overhear that shindig that goes on in heaven among the angels? The Lord said there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Hallelujah. Heaven must be in uproar today. Because there are people repenting all over the world and coming to know Jesus. Yeah, all for Jesus. Okay, so I'm conscious that we have young people among us, so I'm going to try and tie it with what's going to be on the screen. If you want to follow, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm just going to read the first few verses, which says this: "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him to be a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Hallelujah. So, all for Jesus. The situation here was pretty difficult for Timothy. He'd been appointed as leader of the church in Ephesus, which at that time was probably at least 50,000 people. Well, that's quite a big church to look after for one man. I'm sure things were organized so that there were lots of under shepherds and under rowers who served the Lord alongside him. But we know from other bits of the New Testament that Timothy was kind of quite a shy lad, and he was sensitive and a bit timid, and so he was kind of landed with a big job. But and Paul, he was in a difficult place too. He was actually in a dungeon in the Mamertine prison in Rome, which was a long way away from Timothy. So anyway, he knew that Timothy needed some encouragement, so he wrote to him to encourage him. So, facing the future, be strong because grace flows from Jesus. Here, Paul says to him, the first thing he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." What is grace? What is grace? Anybody tell me? I'd really like to know what grace is. Anybody tell me what grace is?
Unmerited favour.
Unmerited favour of the Lord. In the Old Testament, the loving kindness of God. I love that word actually, the loving kindness. God's loving kindness. Now when we come to Jesus, we come to Jesus because God loves us and God is being kind to us, and he leads us to Jesus so that we can have our sins forgiven. And when we come to Jesus, and Jesus, we offer our lives to Jesus and ask him to come in and take over our lives, he comes, because he's risen from the dead. And when he comes to stay. And when he comes, his grace comes as well. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. I'm going to quote some verses, but we're not going to go there for the sake of time. Okay. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Here we are. God said to Paul when he was really sick, my grace is sufficient for you. If you're feeling poorly today, ask Jesus for his grace, for his kind help for you today. The writer to the Hebrews says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, because Jesus is the great King, and kings love to give favours to people. You know, in the olden days, when we had kings over in Anglo-Saxon times, they had these great halls, a bit like this, only bigger, and their men and the women were there in the halls, and they had great parties. And God is going to have a great party on high one day when Jesus comes back. And one of the things the king did after a great battle was they took the spoils of battle, and he walked around the hall and he gave presents to his men. And and the men gave the jewelry to the women. And that's just like Jesus. He comes along and he gives us presents. Who wants a present today? Anybody? Yeah. Not just the children, not just young people. Yeah, I want a present from Jesus today. Okay, lots of us do. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul writes in all of his letters, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you. His ability to help you, it's with you, it's with me, it's with each one of us in all our different situations and the things that we're facing from day to day. It's with you in school. It's with you in college. It's with you in your place of work. It's with you in the factory. He's with you in the field. He's with you in every single place. Whatever you're doing. That's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. His grace is great. It comes into our life. He comes into our lives, and that's his grace. Okay? Jesus and his grace are inseparable. When people saw Jesus walking around, I mean his apostles, they said, we saw the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth, and absolutely full to the brim, that word means. He was overflowing with grace, and Jesus, to you and me today, is overflowing with grace, hallelujah, in the particular need of our hearts today, whatever that need may be, and he can see right into our hearts, not to condemn, but to help us in that need. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to his name. So, my grace is sufficient for you. The second thing is, Paul says in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2, I should say verse 2 up there, pass on what you receive from the Lord. That grace that you've received from Jesus, you can pass that on to somebody else. There is somebody else whose life you will touch today, out there, maybe at home, maybe in the street, tomorrow for sure, in the workplace, in the study place, wherever we are. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with us so that we can pass it on. And that grace shows itself in words and acts of simple kindness. Whatever we can do that shows the kindness and love of the Lord, we can pass that on. Okay, here we are. I'll read this out in case you can't see it from the back. The greatness of our lives is not in what we leave behind, but in what we send forward. I would say just look for an opportunity to pass on what you've received from the Lord. Whether you pass it on in praying for someone like Leon, or whether you pass it on in a word that God puts in your heart for somebody you know, and you know they need to know Jesus, maybe your best friend, and you feel in your heart, oh, Jesus is telling me I need to tell my friend about him. You can pass it on, because as we pass on the news about Jesus, we find that Jesus is actually using us to speak through us, through our words. Isn't that wonderful? God comes to us in words. We have the words of the very big book. The universe began with a great word. Let there be light. And there was. You know, for those of you who are into science, there's been some amazing photos from the James Webb telescope that looks back into time in the universe. And I don't understand these things. But I read on Google News yesterday that what the scientists are seeing in the furthest reaches of the universe is the complete opposite to what they expected to see. How about that? And one famous physicist says, I lie awake at 3 a.m. in the morning wondering if what I believed all along is wrong. That's on Google News. You can read it. because the galaxies and all that should be all in kind of hot gas and bits and flying around, and they're all perfectly formed. Wonderful. Our God is wonderful. Okay, so pass it on. Remember God's command to Moses. Now Moses was 120 years old. That's pretty old, even older than me. And he was wanting to go into the promised land. And God says, no, Moses, I want somebody else to do that job. It's time for you to hand that one over. It's time for you to pass it on into the hands of Joshua. So go to the top and take a look. But I want you to commission Joshua for that particular work. And there are times in our lives when it's time when we take a step back and we say to God, who, Lord, do you have in view for this particular thing? And there's somebody out there who God has in view, and God is calling, God is already speaking into their hearts, and they're just waiting for that opportunity where there's a little gap and they can stand up and fill that gap. So think about that. Okay, so Moses passed it on. Right, now, Paul gives three very simple pictures, and we're going to look at these very briefly. The first one is the soldier on active duty, come wind, come weather, okay? Now, soldiers can be on furlough, they can be on leave, they can be in the barracks, but the word that Paul uses is of a soldier who's actually on duty. He's on the battlefield, if you like, or he's on guard duty. Whatever duty it is, he's there actively involved. And I don't know if this was up on Hadrian's Wall, the guy who's there. Anybody here been to Hadrian's Wall? Anybody? Yeah? Great place to visit if you've never been. Vindolanda is the place to go. All right, young people, you're Vindolanda. You can see some amazing things there. For instance, did you know that Roman soldiers on Hadrian's Wall wrote home to Italy for something they really needed? Can anybody guess what it was? Good try, Colin, but it would have gone bad on the way. Sorry about that. And it would have frozen solid by the time they got to Scotland. Any ideas?
Wine?
Not wine. Things were very basic in those days, so they didn't ask for those. Socks, yes, yeah, socks, woolly socks. Please send me woolly socks. And probably other things as well, all right? Undergarments. They wanted woolly socks. How do we know they wanted woolly socks? Because if you go to Vindolanda, you can see a little postcard bit of very thin wood, and on it, the soldier has written, please, Mum, send me some woolly socks. Okay? You can actually see that. Maybe not in exactly those words. So, we're on active duty. We've got to be alert. We've got to be ready. And the thing that I want to just focus in on here is, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Things might get difficult. Things might get hard if you're a Christian. People might say things to you and call you all sorts of names for being a follower of Jesus. And, just remember what the Lord said. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebul, which is Lord of the Flies, what will they call his servants? Yeah? So people name-called Jesus in his day. And he says, if you follow me, they may name call you too. That's just the way things are for the time being. Why? Because we're on enemy territory. And Jesus called the devil the prince of this world. It's only for a season. It's only temporary. When Jesus comes back, he'll fix that. He'll fix the devil. He'll throw him into the abyss where he'll be forever and ever. And we will live with Jesus forever and ever too. Hallelujah. In a world without sin, in a world without pain, in a world without suffering, Jesus is coming to turn everything upside down and make everything right. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. So, Paul, he was willing, wasn't he? In the same chapter, verse 10, therefore, Paul says, I endure all things for the sake of those who are going to receive God's salvation. So, he went through fire and water, he went to prison, he was stoned, he was beaten up, and all the time he bounced back. This is the amazing thing about Paul. We start off in Acts, he starts off as a young man, we end up in Philemon, he's an old man. All through it all, Jesus was with him in absolutely everything, every situation,
in a shipwreck, when the storm was tossing people around and he hadn't eaten for a fortnight, he stands up and he says, friends, Romans, countrymen, listen to what I've got to say. Lend me your ears. Okay, maybe that's where it originally came from. Listen to what I got to say. The God who I serve stood by me last night. Hallelujah. Stood by me last night and said, you're all going to be okay. So just put your trust in him and you'll find everything is a-okay. Because Jesus is in charge. You know, there's a wonderful picture in Revelation of this mighty vision of God on a throne, and then this book that nobody can open, and then John the Apostle weeps and he says, I felt so sad that nobody could open the book. And then the angel said, don't be sad, the Lion of Judah can open the book. And then he opens his eyes and he sees the Lamb, and that's the Lion of Judah. The Lion and the Lamb, one and the same person, and it's Jesus. So it means Jesus is in control of the events of this world. Absolutely in control. Only he can open the book. Only he has the right, because only he paid the price for sin. Only he rose from the dead. Only he is alive today. Only he has authority, all authority in heaven and earth, to do God's will. Hallelujah. Doesn't that make us shout hallelujah? Yeah, amen, amen. I'm getting excited. Okay, right, so the battle is the Lord's. Where are the fastest growing churches in the world? So it might look like things are difficult, okay? We're facing cultural challenges here in this country, but what is God doing elsewhere? Where are the fastest growing churches in the world? Anybody want to guess? Young people? Yeah, let's have a look. Oh, sorry, spore writing. Iran. In 1979, there were possibly 500 believers from a Muslim background. That's in about 70 million people. 500. So, today, it's all gone dark. Okay, I'll give you some information. Thank you very much. In 2020, there were 500,000, conservative estimate. And somebody might notice I actually missed a naught off the end there. Okay, 500,000. So from 500 to 500,000 in 40 years. Can we skip this one? Am I? Oh, I beg your pardon. Sorry. Natek. Okay, all right. Okay. Natek. That's a Thai phrase which means I've got a broken face. Because I've just clicked the wrong button. All right. The 2011 annual growth rate of Christians in Thailand is 5.2%. Okay, this is old money, but it's not that long ago. The 2011 annual population growth rate in Thailand is 0.5%. This means that the number of Thai Christians is growing 9 times faster than the general population. Think about that. Okay? That's the Buddhist context. Okay, what else have we got? Cambodia, 1991, possibly 1,000 believers in a few provinces. 2015, 200,000 with at least one church in every province. Sorry, lots of numbers there. But what it's telling you is the battle is the Lord's. And Paul wrote that. 2 Timothy 2:9 says this. The word of God is not chained. I'm in chains, but the word of God is not chained. There's no limit to what God can do anywhere, everywhere. It's his world, it's his choice, it's his will, and he is going to glorify Jesus. And he's doing that by bringing lots and lots of people to come to know Jesus. Isn't that great? Yeah? Okay, Joel is not sure. All right, don't worry. Okay, spot the mistake. Anybody spot the mistake? Jolie, can you see the mistake? Or anybody? Jonathan? Him. There's something going wrong there. Yeah. There's two in the same lane. What's gone wrong? All right. So, Paul says this. If anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. What's the rule? Stay in your lane. What happened last week in the Commonwealth relay, ladies' relay?
they went into the wrong lane. Our girls sadly went into the wrong lane and were, although they won, they were disqualified. So you can get disqualified running in the wrong lane. We've got to run in the right lane. The right lane is being born again from Jesus by the Holy Spirit. That's, you can't go anywhere until that has happened in your life. I tried for 10 years to run the race and I couldn't do it because I didn't have Jesus in me, running the race in me. And now I have. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You've got to have Jesus in your life so you can run the race. And then Jesus said, narrow is the way. Narrow is the gate. Difficult is the way. But the way is the way. John Bunyan said this, some also have wished that the next way to their father's house were here, that's in a pleasant place, that they might not be troubled any more with either hills or mountains to go over. But the way is the way, and there is an end. Okay, the way God has appointed for you and me is the way He has appointed, and He gives us the ability by the Holy Spirit to run the straight race through God's good grace. Praise His wonderful name. Right, here's a man who ran the race. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? Run to win. Eric Liddell. Okay, if you've seen the film Chariots of Fire, a very old film now, but a great film about him. And in 1924, he won Olympic gold in a race that he didn't normally run in the outside lane on a cinder track. And he beat the best in the world because he trusted in Jesus. Where's the Olympics going to be in 2024, boys? Anybody know? Next Olympics? Any idea, Ben? No? Anybody know? Paris! Yes, great. Give you a clap for that. Well done, boys. All right. Okay. We've got to run. In other words, you've got to run all out. Eric Liddell had this particular running style, and the guy who played him, Ian, forget his surname, who played him in the film, he got that style. You saw it on the film Chariots of Fire. He just went all out. He said when somebody criticized him, he said, God has made me and God has made me fast. I feel His pleasure when I run. Isn't that great, yeah? We can feel God's pleasure when we do things to the best of our ability, whether it's playing the piano, whether it's singing His praise, whether it's running in a race, whether it's making the estate look beautiful, whether it's whatever it is we're doing, whether it's baking a cake for the love of God for a family who are going through sadness tomorrow. Well, whatever we're doing, hallelujah, we can feel the pleasure of God in those things because He is pleased with those things. Okay, last one, last picture. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Where is this, anybody? Anybody know? Boys? Thailand? Yeah, Thailand. Okay. So, in the on the left-hand side, they're transplanting the rice seedlings from there into another field. It's back-breaking work. It's 40 degrees. It's 90% humidity. But you've got to do it if you want to eat rice for the next year. You've got to do it. You've got to do the hard work. And you and I have to do the hard work of maintaining our relationship with Jesus day by day. Because that's the point where the enemy always tries to get us, in our relationship with Jesus. He wants to stop us praying. He wants to stop us reading God's Word. He wants to stop us coming to fellowship with other Christians. He wants to stop us in our tracks, in other words. But if we love Jesus, we pray to Him, we read the Bible, we listen to Him, we praise His name, we give Him thanks, that's the way that we stay close to Him. And even though He may not feel close right at this time, He is close. And you plant in order to get a harvest. We work, we sow the gospel. Cast your seed upon many waters, for it shall return to you after many days. We don't know which seed will grow up, this one or that one, but God will make it grow. Paul, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, Paul wrote. We never know where the word of God is going to grow up and bear fruit. And one day, you see, the Lord of the harvest is there. He's the man at the end who sets the pace of the harvesters. He sets the price
and he sets the pace. Thou, Lord, paid the price, and he is the one working in the harvest field of this world to bring men and women to know him through his grace and through this glorious gospel that we enjoy here today. And I did that once, or more than once, in Thailand. And when I was out there in the field with the Thais, they said, "Oh, Chamath Doit, Kwat Mien Chamath Doit Lohong Tum," which means he's got a nose as red as a ripe papaya. Okay, you wait for the rain. All right. You wait for the rain. The farmer waits for the rain. And when the rain comes, hallelujah, we wait for God's promise of the Holy Spirit. We pray for the Holy Spirit to come. We pray for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, in our friends' lives, in our church, in our communities, in our nation. May God send the rain of his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And lastly, seek God's seal of approval. Read 2 Timothy 2:15, especially if you're involved in serving the Lord in any way, but this is for all of us, wasn't just for Timothy. This is where our hard work is, because hard work pays off when we give ourselves to the Word of God. Glory to his wonderful name. And that's all I've got to say. Thank you. Thanks, Dave.